one. We made it. Welcome to the Trimark Happy Hour. And I am pleased to announce that we have figured out a way to go live and that we have a very special guest with us in a very fancy location.
Really, it's just the it's just another view of my office. I can't hear. There I am. Okay. This is a very very unnerving for me because normally I'm the one running this, and so I'm constantly looking for like the levels and the technical things over here, and I feel extremely powerless at the moment, despite the fact that we've set all this wonderful stuff up. Hi everybody, welcome to the way that you normally see every other internet white guy make a podcast with a table and microphones and trying to have something impressive behind them. I'm lucky enough in that so by the way, my name is Danny, by the way, you guys know should know who I am, but if you're new, hey, by the way, we are giving $5 per viewer to the charity of Bia's choice, which is Girls Who Hack, which is right behind us. And so for every viewer that we get today, is it a little pandering? A little, sure, but it goes straight to your charity on behalf of Trimark. So however many viewers are in there right now, go tell your friends. I don't care if you rate us, like that would be awesome. But I'm very, very lucky that normally we have remote people. Like this is not a traveling road show, but we have the very up and coming isn't even really the word for you, the already mega famous within our industry, and even more importantly to me in our community, Miss Bia Scilab, who runs Girls Who Hack, DC Next Gen, is one of the foremost, becoming one of the foremost experts on election security. And we are lucky enough here. I'm in Easton, Pennsylvania, where we rep DEFCON 610, which is my DEFCON group. I started about 7 or 8 years ago. And we claim her as one of our own. She is right down the street from me, and they come, and I could not be prouder. So when I was like, hey, can we get Bia to come on and like talk and hang out? Her dad, Heave, was like, oh, you want this in your studio? And I was like, well, first of all, let's put the studio in quotes. I was like, although for not for nothing, if you were to like look at this, it looks kind of like one. And I was like, yeah, a little snazzy, a little more cleaned up than I'm used to. And I was like, hell yes. And then so like most things that I do last minute is I do it all last minute. And I was like, hey, I actually have all this stuff to do it and set it up. And we were only a couple of minutes late, I think, starting. But anyway, I'm actually super stoked. I feel both like I have more responsibility right now and considerably less. And I can't decide where my head goes. But without any further ado, Bia Scilab, guy, you know what? I have such a deep affection for Bia. Like, I don't have a daughter. I have mini APT, which is a 9-year-old male terror. but as close as it can come, or at least like that uncle who is absentee. I have such a deep affection for Bia. She's so goddamn smart and is such a credit. And even on my like most curmudgeonly days, which is like 364 of them at least, I can look at the work that you're doing. And it's also weird that now I can talk directly to you. I don't have to like, in a roundabout way, talk about you, because even though you're here, like it's anyway, my mind's twisted right now. So introduce yourself. Who are you? What do you do?
Oh, geez. Okay. So my name is, well, my hacker name is Bia Scilab. My real name.
I'm a little closer to the mic.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You can hold it too. I don't care. You have enough slack here if you want to hold it too.
Okay, yeah. Cool. This chair is just, it leans back all the way to Canada. But anyways, so hacker handle is Bia Scilab. My real name is Bianca. You obviously call me a B or B. I've known Danny for years now, since I was much shorter, at least a foot shorter. So I've grown quite a bit.
She was painting the nails of our members at our meetups.
Yeah, that was very fun. And I did do like purple glittery polish on Danny, some metallic blue. You know, he could pull it off though. And then you did start painting your nails for real for a while.
I did for a while. And then I also got into the gel part of it. Ooh. And then I realized like, one, it sticks around forever, which is good on one part. On the other part, I start picking it off. And then apparently you're not supposed to do that because it makes your nails incredibly brittle. And like I started like chipping my nails, just doing like my actual so anyway. But like, yeah,
fidget. Yeah. No, I have gel nails, and it does take everything in me to not.
You were the coolest little kid though, little kid no more. You are a full grown adult woman now.
Almost, I'm 17, almost 18, but not quite yet. So let me milk this as much as I can.
Okay, that's fine. So you are almost legally a woman, but you are a juggernaut, and I remember clear as day, like that first day that you came in, and you've just a little ball of energy. Like you were just bouncing around. You gave our stupid little meetup that had yet to like really grow any wings on it such a charge. And she was giving talks. Like she was giving talks already, and she was coming up with topics and talking about girls who hack, and she was picking locks. Bia is the one who taught me how to solder. So like I have two main things that don't go like that are tangential to hacking is soldering and lock picking. I picked my first lock with Chris Sis drunk at DefCon, my first DefCon, and I soldered my first ever component because of Bia, because we had that little like soldering workshop at Two Rivers Brewery here in Easton. And that was when you were like brand new with us. You came out the gate swinging. What got you it? Like, was it Eric? Was it, I'm sorry, Heave? I don't know if he wants his government name out there. Too late now. We can edit it like we edit most episodes where we screw up.
He's fine. What got me started? Let's see. The normal answer I give everyone is that my dad works in the tech field. So he's like, hey, I have a daughter. I want to teach her what I know and see if it sticks. And obviously it did. So he started me off with like Scratch and Python and like kindergarten, first grade. But other than that, he did start taking me to conferences with him since he went to a bunch of different B-sides and such. And my first conference ever was B-sides Delaware, which is coming up soon, and I will be there.
B-sides Delaware is one of the most fabulous B-sides that there is. B-sides is not centrally regulated. It's started by Jack Daniel, but like every B-sides is their own autonomous thing. So not all are created equal, I think, as we've both seen. Delaware 100% is one of the most fun ones to go to.
Yeah, and it introduced me to the space. So like if you have kids, bring them to a B-sides, especially B-sides Delaware, because it's really friendly, and they had a bunch of different talks and classes, and I'm like, I'm learning so much, I need to speak at these conferences about everything that I'm learning. So my first ever talk was about ciphers and cryptic messages and how to decode them. It's like Pigpen, Caesar, all of that. And I just fell in love with it from there. And it helps that I'm an extrovert and just love speaking.
And you're so good at it. I made this remark to you at one of our last meetups where you did the talk on which DC Next Gen is one of the main topics we'll get to. But I have that reference point of the first time you ever came in. You were already very good and very like all over the place and bubbly and effervescent personality. And I saw you deliver a talk that could have been any lifer up there that has been giving it. Forget about security, forget about hacking, forget about all this. Just the public speaking, the command of an audience, whether it's five people or 500. I sat there in that little bar that we've been going to for almost a decade, just in sheer awe of how far that you've come, and you have parlayed that now into quite a bit of things that you've been doing. You're all over the inner tubes. I see videos of you all the time. But the most recent that I really want to talk about right away, and we'll get to election security. Like it's a bummer for everybody. Okay. We know, but it's important. I want to talk about it, but tell me about DC Next Gen, because I know that there were some people out there who were like, oh, is that DC Kids? Is that Hacks for Kids? Like, so tell me about Next Gen and what you're doing with them.
Ooh, okay. So I know you've been going to DEF CON for a while, and you're a goon like me. I was a goon last year as well when I was 16, which is earlier than you should be a goon. And what used to be the Roots Asylum at DEF CON, which was like the kids' track, it was its own little bubble, its own little room. For numerous reasons, it got canceled, it got cut off, and then DEF CON was just growing back after COVID, so that was no one's concern. But then Dark Tangent is like, hey, that was pretty cool, let's try to bring it back. So he gave that project to a small group of goons, and he's like, okay, you guys just kind of see what happens, see if there's interest, and there was. So I talked to him after that DEF CON happened, and I'm like, can I bring this back? And he's like, go for it. You have free reign. I'm like, yes. So I started DC Next Gen, which is the new youth track at DEF CON. So it's not just kids, like little kids and middle schoolers, but it's also aimed at teenagers around my age. The biggest thing about DEF CON, and I'm sure you know this too, is the friendships you make and the connections you make. Because you can learn stuff online all you want, but when you actually make those connections to these people in person, that's very long lasting. And I wanted to give that community to the younger people who come to DEF CON. So I made sure that a ton of different villages created content specifically for youth. Youth challenges, youth puzzles, youth talks, etc. So that not only could these youth spend time at the actual DC Next Gen track where we had our own cool things going on, but also all around DEF CON to bond with each other and their parents, etc.
What was, so how old were you when you first got involved or like went to your first DEF CON or like, well, so, okay, so maybe those two. What was your first, the age you were first went to your first DEF CON, and what was the first, what, how old were you when you first got involved in what I call back office stuff, like actually being a part of the con?
Okay, so my very first DEF CON, I think I was 12 or 13 years old. I'm pretty sure 12. So I went right into the deep end. I went to a few B-sides, and Dad's like, you know what's happening in Vegas? I'm like, what? And then I went, and I'm like, oh my God, it's huge. It really is. It's mind-boggling, and it just keeps getting bigger. It's insane. And then when it comes to actually being part of things, the next DEF CON after that one is when I started speaking at DEF CON. I've done 6 talks now, which is a little more behind the scenes, but it's only until I was 16 that I actually got to, you know, go ahead early and see it all get set up, which I don't even know how that works, man. I see it happen, and I'm like, how did they do that?
Dude, for anybody like that has not seen it, and you know, there's, you know, 20,000 people show up, you know, whatever it is, and only a small percentage of that ever really get to see the setup and the crates and the boxes and the scissor lifts and all of these things. It's like raising an entire city, and it is really something to behold. And then there's that also equally jarring at the end where you're walking around and everybody has gone home. And the scissor lifts come back out and shit's getting torn down and stuff's getting thrown out and this whole thing. What do you remember? And I can't remember stuff from yesterday, let alone when I was 12. What was your first feel? So what casino did they have it at the first year you went?
Most of the stuff was happening in Caesars.
Okay. What was your first impression as a 12-year-old kid? Coming to Las Vegas ruins adults, first of all, and it blows adults' mind. But couple that with being at the biggest hacker conference in the world. And yeah, I mean, naturally, you said that you're, you know, natural extrovert, but I still want your impressions as a 12-year-old kid seeing all of this for the first time. Like, what was the first thing that you do? You remember the first thing that you thought or what you felt?
Yeah, I actually do. I don't know if you remember this, but you go into the Caesars Forum and there's 2 big escalators that go up there. And it was like the first day of DEF CON. I didn't do Lion CON because I was too young to wake up that early. It was the first like real day.
Most adults are too old to wake up that early.
So we just sent Dad out and we're like, my mom and I, and we're like, you know what, you go figure that out.
I'm shocked he hasn't wandered in here yet despite us telling him not to and don't ruin the shot.
He does that all the time. Yeah. He's so nosy. That escalator, there's this wall like right above it and people were sticking stickers to it and it was almost already covered. I'm like, it's the first day. And I'm like, this is one wild crowd. This is going to be insane. I reach the top of the escalator, sea of people. I don't think I've ever seen that many people in my life before. Cause I mean, I'm from the middle of nowhere, kind of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. The most people you see, if you walk Black Friday into a Walmart, but that's like about it. So to see all these people with the same interest and everyone's like hugging and high-fiving, it's just energy. And you just feel that love and passion flowing. It can be overwhelming, but I found it cool. And I'm like, okay, this is my piece.
Have you, and then, God, there's so many aspects I want to get to, because I think one of the things I'm trying, that I want to get to, now you have what, I love your dad. Your dad has been one of my closest friends for the longest time. I absolutely adore him, despite the fact that he almost ruined an entire Hacker Jeopardy here, but we'll get to that some other talk. He's still, anyway, PTSD. there are some, of course, you're always going to find people that are be like, oh, kids are too young to come to DEF CON, or like, or maybe even it's not that severe of like, I'm worried about bringing my kids to a hacker conference, even though the adults are going themselves, but they don't get to see the kid part of it. What would you, from having this experience now of the past 6 years or whatever, however long it's been, say answer to that, saying, oh, like, I'm worried about bringing my kids that might even be older than you are at this time. Maybe they're 13 or 14. They're still worried about it. What, like, it's like, what would you say to them?
Honestly, the fear just in general, obviously I'm not a parent, but I understand it and I see where you're coming from. The best advice I can give is start by bringing your kid to a B-Sides that you know is good or you've been to before and maybe even has kids content, because a lot of them do, just to see if they like it. But if you're thinking of bringing them to somewhere big, like DEF CON, which you should definitely do because I'm running DC Next Gen.
I can hear you so much better when you do that.
Sorry. Well, it's not my fault.
No, I know. I gave you a stupid chair. I could yell for your dad to bring you in a regular chair.
No, I'm good. I'm going to sit on my knees.
Okay. Ring the bell that you get, because he always comes to you and you just ring the bell.
Yeah, we should get a bell for him.
Ding, ding, ding.
We should get a cowbell to summon your dad in here to do scut work for us.
Father, bring me more water. Father. Bring them.
This is room temp, you heathen.
Away with you. I said light ice, light ice.
You disgust me.
Is this sparkling? I said plain.
The only thing that should sparkle is a sheen on your head, sir. He's standing outside the door right now.
He was. Son of a bitch.
I told you, he couldn't.
Oh my God, look at him.
Yeah. Anyway, my guest had a thought before you interrupted.
Mm-hmm. I thought I had a thought, but I can't think no more.
No, you were saying, like, go to a B-Sides that has kids content.
Yeah, go
content.
To a B-Sides, then I'm full-on take them to DEF CON. Because the thing about DEF CON and a lot of the conferences is hacker culture has changed a lot over the years, at least from what I've heard and from what I've seen since I've been doing this.
It's changed even in the last 10 years that I've been going. From my first one, which was 24, to, you know, this past one, it's... I can now see, and you've probably heard this already too, DEF CON's not the same. It's not my DEF CON. No, it's not going to be your DEF CON shortly after you start going. That's why we have things like Next Gen, because it's going to be somebody else's DEF CON. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. It changes and it evolves and different people discover it. And thank God that they do.
Yeah, and from what I've heard, DEF CON used to be a lot more wild. It used to be like a giant party. And there are still cool parties and stuff at night, which means, like, if you're going to bring your kids or teens, during the day, it's a lot calmer. There's obviously so many security goons who watch and monitor everything. There's a lot of mental health awareness and spaces to chill, and everyone's checking in on each other. So it's a very good collaborative space that's relatively safe. And anyone who is bad, they make sure to take care of them and push them aside. So you don't have to worry, at least safety wise for the most part, and you can sort of choose what content. But when it comes to people like that, like, DEF CON has changed, these conferences have changed. Like, yeah, they have and they will, but you might also just be living off of nostalgia because you're thinking back to a time when you're like, you were also younger then, you were also more fun and had less responsibilities and were in a different part of your life. So just enjoy it for what it is now.
So, having your experience colored with all of that, what are some of the core things that you want people to take away when they come to Next Gen? Like what do you what are your core, like, hey, when these kids come in here, I want them to walk away with A, B, and C, or like an experience. So like, what's like, what do you hope to impart on people with Next Gen for those kids coming up now?
Number one will always be collaboration. For DC Next Gen last year and this year, we have our own CTF, which Matt Kay, who designed the CTF, I made sure to tell him, I want this to be hands-on and something that they can collaborate together. So some of the puzzles were on this puzzle box that he created, which was really epic. We also had the DC Next Gen badge, which is completely interactive. 9 NeoPixel LEDs, touch sensors.
It's a very screen, cool badge, yeah.
Lights, RFID. Like, it has everything built into it. And that leads me to the second thing, which is I don't want them to feel discouraged, because hacking can be pretty complex and different and hard, especially when you're first getting into it. And there's so many different niches and things, like you have the Wi-Fi hackers, and then there's like an aerospace village where you're hacking freaking satellites and whatnot, which is absolutely insane. And it's cool, giddy, but it's also so very overwhelming at times. So I want to make sure to do what I do with Girls Who Hack, which is make the content easy for everyone. So if these youth have never touched a computer before, they will get something out of it. If they've already been interested in all of this, already played with Hack the Box, they'll also get something out of it. So those are like the two main things, is collaboration and then just ease.
Yeah, and it's the thing. And so I didn't get into any of this. I mean, I didn't get into hacking until I was like almost in my 30s. Like, I didn't discover my own tribe until I was, damn near like 3 decades old. And if that's, you hit the nail on the head, is like, it's not this wizardry right click hack and like you have some secret of the universe and it's just that simple. It is like looking at a thing and going, all right, how does this thing work? And hopefully the designers made it in such a way where it's not going to be obvious how it works, and having that curiosity and that patience and not getting down on yourself to think, oh, because I had that too. Oh, I'm stupid. I can't figure this out. Oh, I've never popped a shell. I'm not, must not be a real hacker or whatever.
Imposter syndrome.
It happens to everybody. I remember it was like in the last 6 or 7 years that I sat back and I realized, like, it's not about knowing everything, but it's like, you ask the first question. And like, everybody be damned on what they think of what your question is going to be. It's important to you. So ask that first question, which will lead to a second question, which will lead to my cat eating my goddamn hand. And I'm trying not to flinch while I'm talking to you. She's got her claws dug in right now. Ouch. And ask that question. Ask another question. Ask another one. It's about asking the question. It's not even about asking the right questions. It might be the completely wrong questions. But like, just saying, oh, that was the wrong way to do this. Okay, what can I ask of that? It's like asking you could have all the data in the world. You could have lakes and lakes of data. What are you asking? What are you asking of it?
Any hacker who says, I'm an expert, I know all about this, blah, 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 is not a real hacker, because they're not a learner, because this field is growing and changing constantly. New stuff is coming out. AI is blowing up, as everyone has heard and knows. So when you join this field, you just have to have a sense of acceptance that you will never know everything. You will always need to ask questions, and you will always need to Google things.
So, and you had said it real quick, and it's on the banner right behind us about Girls Who Hack. So Girls Who Hack. So it's a bunch of, you're involved in so many different initiatives, DC Next Gen, election, all of these things. Tell me about Girls Who Hack. How did it start?
Okay. So I am a woman in cybersecurity, and over the years, there have been more and more girls and women interested in the field, and overall, the hacking space has become generally more diverse. Obviously, we can always do better. Will it ever be perfect? Who knows? But anytime that I attended classes, attended a CTF, did all of that, the number of guys versus girls was pretty staggering, at least for the younger demographic, which is mine. And I'm a teen girl, and I was also a middle schooler. Most of my female friends didn't know anything about computers or hacking and things. And of course, schools have coding clubs and stuff, but nothing about cybersecurity itself, how to actually stay safe online, what hacker is, what they actually do, that hackers aren't bad. So I created Girls Who Hack as a safe space where I can teach girls the skills of hacking so that they can change the future in a community of just them, so they can feel comfortable and collaborate together in an environment where the beginner classes don't say words like server and database and expect you to know what that means. Because what is that? How does that work? Etc.
What do you say? I got permission to ask this question ahead of time, because it is a very dicey question. What do you say to people? I know what I say to people that when they see something that just starts with girls, some people would have a knee-jerk reaction without ever having really researched or whatever, be like, oh, well, everybody should be welcome. And like, they automatically assume like being excluded from a thing. Have you gotten that before?
Yeah, I've gotten that question before, and it's usually from guys. And honestly, some guys ask it like as a targeted question, but some are genuinely curious. And if any of you are curious too, it's a good question.
Yeah,
and it has two parts to the answer.
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, I that's repeating what she just said, but I want to underscore it of like, God, that was such a good distinction. Pointed and targeted question versus genuine curiosity. There is more than room for one, and the other one is just to get a rot. Like, but anyway, continue. I interrupted your thought.
No, you're good. So the first part to it is that Girls Who Hack is always an open space. When I first started it and I started teaching classes at like B-sides and stuff, the way I would always run it is I have this many laptops. It's going to fill up with girls first. If there's room for guys, of course I'll let them in. And then like I spoke at this one thing in front of a group of like 900 teenagers and middle schoolers for this one event, not with the Girls Who Hack, but just as myself. And afterwards, this girl came up to me, and so she said, like, hey, I'm trans. Is it okay if I'm part of this, or do I not count? And I'm like, you're a girl, right? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, then you're welcome. So generally speaking, it is a welcome space. But going over, okay, then why don't you have guys here? Why is it just girls? Which, if you're not a girl, you won't directly understand this, but I will try my best to explain it. I read this book also that explains it very well by Reshma Sawajani, who started Girls Who Code, called Brave Not Perfect, all about how girls are raised to not make mistakes, not take risks, at least not usually how guys are raised, because it's like, okay, Timmy, go play on the monkey bars. If you fall, okay, get up and try again. The girl, it's like, oh, Susie, you fell off the monkey bars. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Let's go home. And I know when I started taking classes, like I mentioned, being one of the only girls in the room, if I wanted to ask a question or something, I felt extra stupid because in my head, I was thinking, I represent all women right now. If I ask a question, all these guys are just going to be like, confirmed their belief that girls are dumb and shouldn't be doing this. And I don't want to look dumb. And I also don't even want to try anything because I'm scared that I'm going to mess it up. So by creating this space, it gives sort of an open door to girls, especially the ones who are more shy and more nervous to start, a space in which they can have that sort of like sisterhood bond. Because I know guys have their bro bond. We have that too. And by giving that space to girls, it allows them to take risks and chances without having to, you know, represent all women and without feeling like completely left out.
So the way that I had always thought about it, and you also read another very important part, is that I'm never gonna fully understand. I can say that I sympathize and I'm an ally and empathy and all this thing. I will never understand. I will never be able to fully grasp what that feeling feels like, because it is also a different dynamic. I have been in like mostly women school classes or whatever, and I'm the only dude. And I'm just a shy, but like, it's not the same thing. And I always countered those kinds of questions, especially the ones that come at you pointed or targeted. Be like, we have lobbyists for everything. There are marginalized groups everywhere. Everybody's got a lobbyist. I see things like Girls Who Hack as the lobbyist for, you guys need a leg up. Like, it's just socially, is that you guys come at a disadvantage culturally. It's just how it's been. And you're the lobbyist for that. And I see absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's strength in numbers. It's the most core thing. But yeah, I love when people come with genuinely curious questions that haven't even done the research yet, right? Like, you can't force anybody to go read your about section and do your research, because like, that's crazy, right? Research yeah, before forming an opinion. But no, you made a lot. That's exactly how I saw it. And I'm so proud that you have done that. So like, how do you have like a membership number? Like, do you have like how many people are associated with you now? What then from when you started? Like growth numbers?
Yeah. Growth numbers is hard because it's not sort of a, I do some online stuff. Some stuff is pre-recorded. Most of it is online live classes, but usually the way I do it is in person. Cause especially with technology, it's easier to help someone when you can actually see their screen and put your hands on their keyboard if necessary, or if you're teaching something like soldering or lock picking to really get hands-on, cause hacking is hands-on. Whether you really realize it or not. So it's hard to keep track of numbers, especially when I first started this years ago. I didn't think it would really be anything, so I didn't really count at the very beginning. But when it comes to class size, how many classes I'm doing, that number has been growing, especially with help from people donating. I've gotten some grant money to teach classes, especially in underprivileged areas where the girls don't really have access to technology, let alone a technical education. So I can't tell you by how much the numbers are growing, but I know for a fact they're growing. And if you just follow my social media, you know,
what is your social media, Bia?
Girls Who Hack, and also Bia Scilab on all the platforms, Mastodon, mostly on Twitter, Instagram, etc. So you can see sort of the mission, how much I've been doing, what's new, and learn more about Girls Who Hack and myself.
I'm gonna take a beat because I haven't been looking at Brandon all that much. Brandon, you have anything? I don't want to speed roll, or if there's any questions in the chat or comments you want to bring up.
There's just, so I'll start with a couple of great comments in chat. Well, just one particular, freaking Bats, our best friend Jay Van, says that when you said and quoted, "I represent all women right now," just hit so hard. Didn't think I'd be getting emotional over here. Such a great conversation, and I could hear, like, when you were talking to, and that it was something so important and passionate to you. So, and it was the best explanation that I could have ever even hoped for, like, much better than AI answers. So,
suck it, ChatGPT.
That's right, ChatGPT. You're full of it. I did have a question, so I guess more of a comment for you too, is, so I have two daughters and also a son, and I was able to take them to a small conference for the first time earlier this year, and they all loved it. They did soldering. My daughter got burnt in the first, like, few seconds of soldering, but she stuck with it, and it was just awesome to see. So just a lot of appreciation for the things that you're doing with there. A lot of cool people in chat giving you some love too. Blenster's in here. Dalan Shark.
Oh, hi, Blenster.
Hi, Blenster. I love you. By the way, I get all your signals, and I'm just a barely bad friend at responding. I'm sorry. I love you.
But you guys are doing fantastic. We've got, even more now. I'm going to have to recalculate this, but I've got over 100.
I'll come back and, like, troll it, and we'll come back and we'll take all of the questions and comments, because now I want to get to, are you a sick? I mean, well, yeah. So you're not quite voting, right? You can't vote quite.
No,
yet.
I'm 17, so yeah. I can't legally vote. Nope. Yeah.
Legally.
How? What'd you tell us that?
I said legally vote.
Legally.
We're talking about election hacking. Right? Get it?
Yes. Yeah. So from Girls Who Hack to DC Next Gen, how did you get into the election security part of it? And when was the first time you got into it? And what have you been doing in that realm?
A lot. Election security is one of my strongest niches, always going to be one of my biggest passions for many reasons. So I'm going to preface the entire election topic with what I always preface it with, is that everything that I say is going to be completely non-biased. I am obviously not even legal age to vote. If you've watched any of my election themed talks and stuff, I'm not associated with either party. I'm not even necessarily in the middle. I'm sort of like, take a step back. Let's look at everything objectively. What are the facts? What aren't? What do we know? What could happen, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the point where I'm starting. Obviously, like I mentioned, I've been in election security for a while now, but I'm sure even when you guys were kids, you're like, who cares about elections? I'm not old enough to vote. That's a adult at the Thanksgiving table sort of a topic.
Sure. That's when Uncle Bobby gets all smelling like weird rum.
Exactly. And I was like that too, until one fateful day at DEF CON at the Roots Asylum, they held a mock election reporting system that us kids got to try to hack to change the vote count. At that point, I could barely use, like, a keyboard and a mouse. I didn't know anything about computers, really. I knew some stuff, but, you know, at that point, I couldn't even really do multiplication. So, I sat down, they gave us this packet that talked about cross-site scripting and SQL injection and how we could use those attacks to change the vote count. And I was able to do that in under 15 minutes. And thinking to myself at that point, I'm like, I know this is a mock reporting system, so obviously it's flawed on purpose, but what can an adversarial group with endless time, money, resources, and knowledge do to our systems. How secure are our systems? So I started doing a ton of research. I talked to a bunch of people at like the Voting Village at DEF CON, got more information. And then I was invited to a congressional hearing on election security by Mickey Sherrill. So
who's Mickey Sherrill?
Congresswoman in New Jersey. So
oh, okay.
That time. So I was invited and I went. And that's when I talked to all the congressmen and women. And at that point, I learned a lot about election security from obviously the tech perspective of things. And they were talking about like, oh, we need to do voting completely online. That's the future. And I'm thinking to myself, a computer can be hacked, a piece of paper can't. The way that this should go, just if you even just think about it logically, it should be hand-marked paper ballots with a paper trail because, again, you can't hack a piece of paper and there's less room for error and such. And I'm thinking, if the congressmen and women don't even know better about security because that's not what they're trained for.
That's not their job.
That's not what they studied for, exactly. Then the normal people don't know because normal people don't know about cybersecurity. As cybersecurity professionals, we need to sort of open up and speak more about all of this election stuff. So that's sort of what led me into my whole research bonanza.
And you were how old when you were at Congress?
12.
Good
or Lord. 13, yeah. I wore my little kitty tights with a little dress. It was great.
I was smoking what I thought was weed out of a broken Coke can at 12. And it turned out just to be oregano. I hope that kid's dead now. No, he's fine. I heard he's alive. He's still there. That's insane. So from there, how are you still involved in, I guess, is there... I forget, because I'm so busy gooning, I don't know what's what. Is there still, like, an election security village at DEF CON? Are you involved with that?
There's still a voting village at DEF CON. The last two DEF CONs, I haven't spoken because I've been dealing with, like, DC DEX Gen and have a lot on my plate. Before that, I have spoken in the voting village twice, maybe three times now. I can't keep track. So I have been involved in that. Yes, I am definitely still involved in election security in two different ways. Number one, especially with AI and deepfakes and stuff, there's a lot of misinformation when it comes to a lot of different things, especially election security. You see bots on Twitter and everything spreading fake news from both parties and just causing havoc and mayhem, and all this false information is confusing the older generations and even the younger ones because they don't know any better. So I did study a lot on psychological warfare and like, why would someone do this? How is this created? How is this believable? The other side of it, I had an internship with IBM, and as part of it, we were allowed to do a research project. And I am working on what I call the Fawcett framework, which is the first open source election testing framework. So I'm making a framework sort of like, not like a Metasploit framework with tools and stuff, because that takes a lot of time and knowledge, but more like a NIST framework, because there's no framework for testing different election security, election components, everything from like the registration system to like the reporting system, tabulator, voting machines, etc. And so through my research, I saw that all these systems are tested through NIST and other things, but those were designed for businesses who have a certain sort of structure, because almost all businesses are the same. But this doesn't flow the same way. It's one sort of straight line. So I'm like, okay, what are the different parts? How do they work? How can you secure them? Because a more secure election benefits everyone.
Yeah. Do you have faith that since you've been involved with this and you were up at Congress and you've been so in the weeds with this, are people watching out? Are the right people watching out that should be watching out? Like, do people still care in the places of power that can make the decisions to make these things more secure? Do you think people are watching, or is it up to us?
I think it's more up to us, because the biggest part of the election is obviously sort of starts again at the misinformation side of things. And then I know that most states are still using old election equipment and they just keep coming up with new pieces and not replacing the old ones, which need to be patched and have old components that are already hackable. It's kind of a mess. But I think now, especially with just awareness for AI in general, people are applying that to election fraud and election misinformation and all of that sort of stuff. So is it getting better? Yes. Is it getting worse, yes. Which one's winning? I don't
sure.
know.
But it's like the ultimate race condition.
Yeah, the best thing we can do, especially as cybersecurity people, is just making everyone more aware. Like, hey, no matter what party you believe in, no matter what you believe in, your voice matters. Here's how to make sure that you do this properly.
Why did, and I mean, if you know, why did that congresswoman reach out to you? Why did she care?
She saw what I did at DEF CON because
she was there, or she saw it online.
Saw it online because mm-hmm. a few different news programs was actually filming the kids, and one of them interviewed me and asked, like, "Hey, how fast did you do this? How did you do this?" And I was just obviously flabbergasted, and she saw that, and then she saw that I do a lot of different election security things because I did another election security talk at that point, and she's like, we need to bring the younger generation into this conversation because they may not be able to vote now, but they will be able to vote in the future, and their voice counts, and we need to make sure that the future is a good place for them, which is just logical. So she brought me there to make sure that I could meet the other congressmen and women, share my message, and I can hear theirs.
Which I think is a net positive, right, to have that kind of press at DEF CON. I know a lot of hackers are going to hack, and I ultimately respect, like, hey, keep the press out and this and, you know, anarchy, and I completely respect it. It's part of the culture. But, like, how else would that congressman have seen this if that press hadn't been there to ask you those questions? So, like, I still think it's a net positive to have press there. Do you agree?
Oh, definitely. And I understand that a lot of hackers, and for good reasons, are very private people.
Yeah, we've been burned.
Yeah, exactly. Not only that, but, I mean, it's so ingrained in our culture that, like, you go by Rando and I go by BSI Lab. Everyone has their own secret handles and secret names because they don't want to
share. Happy pirate nicknames.
Share what they want to, what they're doing and who they are and what they've done. But at the end of the day, everyone uses technology. Not everyone knows how it works or how to secure themselves, which is not good because this is affecting, like, so many people. As hackers, we know that, like, social engineering and human error is the biggest problem here. So we need to make cybersecurity a part of pop culture because we've had movies that have come out, like Hackers and such, Sneakers, etc. But they're not very realistic necessarily in the sense.
I thought Swordfish was a documentary.
Oh my god,
have you seen Swordfish?
Not yet, but I heard about it. Oh,
you and your dad, we gotta have a movie night in the barn. I have to show you Swordfish.
Okay. Oh,
I'm gonna ruin her brain on this one.
No, the censored version, like, make sure you do the made for TV version of Swordfish.
No, she's almost an adult.
I'll be fine. I need to see it all raw and natural, get the full experience.
How you brought up another interesting thing. How do you think that we get kids at a younger age, especially ones coming of age to go vote, to get interested and informed? Again, we're not talking indoctrination. We haven't even mentioned a single political party in this whole conversation. But getting involved in the process and getting educated. Do you think schools do enough to educate the kids before they get out and turn 18 about why it's important?
I don't think so as much because I was homeschooled in my life. I'm in college now, so I don't know exactly how the public school system works, but a lot of my friends are part of it.
You're in college?
Yeah.
You're breaking my
heart. I started when I was 16, so it's okay. You're not that old.
The second my there's two things that happened. When I could hear my mortality clock audibly ticking, the second my son took his first breath, and every time I talked to Bia. Her clock is ticking up. Mine's ticking quickly down.
Oh, it's okay. You're still young. You still look good. You don't have that much gray hair. You're
fine. I moisturize.
Oh. Because politics in general is such a sensitive topic. Because instead of bringing people together, it usually brings people apart. And I know, at least for Gen Z and probably Gen Alpha too, I can't really speak for them as much, we have a sort of doom mentality. We grew up through COVID. We're seeing a lot of war going on all around the world constantly, and we hear about it. And when it comes to the other generations, you guys didn't grow up with social media like we did. God. Whether we want to be exposed to this sort of stuff or not, if you open your phone, you will see different ads and information,
you don't have a choice,
whether true or not, yeah, exactly, about all of this. So I hear, like, my friends obviously have political opinions, and even younger ones have political opinions. Usually, obviously, it kind of stems down from the parents until they're older. But now they're hearing what everyone online is saying. But they're not educated enough in how everything works at the end of the day.
The actual core process to, like, yes, mm-hmm. here's I call all of that the marketing of it, right? Yeah. Like, it is the this and that, blah, blah, blah. But the under that sits on top of the actual infrastructure buried in the ground. Like, we walk on top of power lines and things like that and sewers. The infrastructure and the process and making sure that's preserved and not screwed with and set on fire or like, and being able to understand that. And who knows, like, what kid is going to get reached now at 12 going, hey, I wonder how that thing works, and start studying it until they're 18 and like, then they're the next Bia.
Exactly. And I think it's good that not necessarily kids, but teenagers are slightly more exposed to political culture in general, not even from a like party sense, but more so this is how democracy works sense. I think as a parent, and I'm not one to give parenting advice necessarily, but as a parent, I think the logical things to do are just telling them, this is generally how the system works. This is what all the different parties are. This is sort of the general things they stand for. This is how government works in general. What are the different branches? All that basic stuff. So they understand, okay, this is why this matters.
Yeah,
this
these are the laws. Stakes.
Yeah, this is the Constitution, what it means. And obviously schools should teach this, but are they paying attention? Not really. You need to tell them why it's important. So first, they need to have that foundational knowledge. Then after that, you need to tell them, whatever you believe, you can believe. This is what I believe, etc. You know, let them have their own opinions, of course. And then warn them about misinformation, saying, whatever you hear, always question everything you hear. Double check the facts.
From any side.
From any side. Always ask the questions. And listen to what every party has to say. Because no matter what you believe in, you need to get a full photo of, okay, this is what these people believe. This is what they're saying. Form a good, constructive opinion. Sort of like what they learn in English class, you know? Hearing different sides of an argument of a story. It's the same thing, but applied to something different.
And it rolls right back into hacking, of figuring out how a system works and where the holes might be and how you can improve it or how you can break it or how just... There's a lot of peace to be had mentally from just understanding. You might understand it and it still sucks, but there is a modicum of comfort, might not be the word, but... The more that you read and understand and see past the marketing and think, okay, now these are all people that are running these core processes. So the more educated that they are and the respect for the process, maybe you can feel a little more comfortable. I want to throw it back to Brandon and chat. How are things going over there?
Chat is good. I think we peaked earlier and we're still hanging at 35 viewers. We peaked at 36. Plus I added $5 for the cat per request.
The cat counts as a viewer.
Yeah.
So we're at 180.
Milk Sean's wallet.
That's right. 185 bucks so far. So let's, you guys are doing fantastic.
And by the way, we're doing this all month of November and until our fall season is over. Every guest will be able to pick a charity. We'll be doing $5 per charity. This, of course, this week goes to Girls Who Hack. Normally I get a little sense of ennui after these interviews when I talk to my friends because like, when's the next time I'm going to see him or whatever. I could just cross the bridge and I'll can see you in 5 minutes.
Exactly. So that actually... Come on, invite me for that movie night. I need to see.
Swordfish. Oh no. As a matter of fact, so we do, I've talked about it before briefly, but like I live in an old farmhouse and we have a barn. So I do what's called Barn Con every year.
Oh yeah.
And Barn Con this year, we'll be watching Swordfish. Yes. So at least count that in December. So closing out, so Brandon, anything else from your end? You got any questions, comments, any other topics you want to talk about?
No, I mean, we're coming up on time. We're perfect on it. We usually end with wins, and definitely my win is doing this, even though I haven't gotten to talk very much. It's really been awesome to listen. I've known that Bia was awesome. Like, I've never had the ability to talk to her before. I saw you at DEF CON. And I probably did one of these things that was like awkward, but, you are so well-spoken. This, I think, is probably the best show that we've ever done, hands down. So thank you for being here. Ooh. This is awesome.
Well, it also helps that you're just so freaking engaging. Like, God, I hope you never lose that. So yeah, would you have anything particular that happened nice to you this week? Anything when it could even be in the past couple of weeks?
Well, Halloween just happened and I will be posting this, so please follow me. And I dressed up as a raccoon in like a raccoon onesie because the mascot for DC Next Gen is Raider the Raccoon.
Their mascot is really cool.
Oh yeah, Mar made it and does all the art for DEF CON, so it's amazing.
I don't know if we recorded. I think we recorded your talk that you gave that because I want to show it to everybody about like how you did your badge.
I think we did.
Yeah, I'm gonna get that up somewhere. I'll get it in the aftermath, and if you're in the Discord, you'll see it. I'll post it. But the whole story is incredible. Like, it's so cool.
So yeah, I dressed up as Raider and I went trick or treating because you're never too old to go trick or treating. Got to see some cool houses. There's this one house, that they made the house look like a giant pirate ship, and I don't even know how they set it up, but they actually made like a cannon that shoots out smoke and like makes red lights.
Over
and
I'm like, on your side in your hood?
It's in Lancaster, I think.
Oh, you went to Lancaster?
Yeah. And I went with my friend Gwen, and we went together, and it was just epic. I love Halloween.
You went all the way to Lancaster to trick or treat?
Yeah, because the houses there are
they're pretty
so
dope.
Good. It was worth it. It's worth it. So yeah, we went and we had a fun night because at the end of the day, I'm still a teenager. Yeah. I'm gonna milk that. I'm still a teenager.
Is there like some big push? I saw a lot more older kids this year. Like I haven't seen that many older kids, and I don't know if it's like now I sound like an old grandpa. Like, is that one of those social media things?
It kind of is. I'm glad because
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, better that they're trick or treating than like out partying.
Because they're gonna have to deal with this election shit eventually. Like their lives are gonna get ruined. Like just like the rest of ours. Let them trick or treat for longer.
Yeah, let them enjoy it. Who cares? You're never too old. As long as you let the little kids sort of go first, then it's a fun day. You get to see cool houses and wear fun costumes and walk around outside with your friends. It's just a fun social thing.
Yeah, my win is that this all got set up correctly, and I don't think that it looks half bad. I think it actually looks, I think it looks pretty good. That was my win.
It looks awesome. And you got to sweep, and you had to vacuum for like the first time for a while, right?
How did you know? Did you see the vacuum? Oh, okay, good. No, I moved the vacuum. yes, well, we're like everybody else. We live in our own filth. So yeah, I'm not doing another thing for the rest of the day, except I have a meeting at 4, which I just remembered. Yeah, no, that's fine. So anyway, you're my favorite. I couldn't be prouder of you. And I even hate saying that because it almost, maybe I'm overthinking, it sounds like a condescending thing, like, oh, how proud you're, little, you know, pat you on the head. But I'm also equally admiring of you. I hold you on such a pedestal above me already, and like you were up there far before you got to this point.
Thank you.
So I hope that you stay in the hacking community. I hope you continue to do good things for us. We need more people like you. And for everybody else, it's given me great joy to see the chat keeping scrolling. Everybody has come here. I can't wait for J-Van to cut the hell out of this and make hay and send out video clips. And we especially want to get the video clip out about the election security stuff because we do mercifully have a few more days until that bullshit is over. But for everybody else, as usual, hub.trimarksecurity.com. Are up on our YouTube is where all these videos go eventually if we don't screw it up and I start uploading, which I keep, every week I say I'm going to and I don't. But yeah, our YouTube, our Twitter, our hub. And listen, we're also really, really good at Active Directory. And Entra ID and identity security. That's what we do. That's what enables us to pay the bills to do this community stuff, which we also love doing. So, you know, anybody needs assessments, go to trimarksecurity.com/services. We are back next week. I don't recall who our guest is, but I know that it's going to be awesome. And I think we're trying to get Ray Redacted back as well. But for myself and for Bia and for everybody out in the inner tubes, thank you guys for joining. And I'm going to let Brandon take us out.